The first reading is from the book of Daniel. It's Daniel's vision as he records it in chapter 7. And this is where we also get the notion of the Son of Man. This phrase Jesus uses all the time to describe himself, the Son of Man. Where does he get it from? Well, as a phrase, in Semitic thinking, see, like during that Iraq war, I forgot the guy's name now, there was the ruler of Iraq, whatever it was. This is the mother of all values, of all wars. You see, the mother. You know. So this, the Son of Man, means quintessential man. And so it becomes a title. Though, as Daniel, it's just like a Son of Man. He's a, you know, he belongs. He sums up, he is quintessentially human. But as a messianic title, it had some confirmation, but it was Jesus' title for himself. Why? Because he is the Son of Man. He's totally human. He's the fruit of humanity. And so he calls himself the Son of Man. Now the text, the vision of Daniel is in chapter 7, as I said, and it goes from verses 9 to 14, except in our reading, they live out 11 and 12. I think mostly because they're trying to save space and time. They do that a lot. Okay, the text reads, "As I watched, thrones were set up, and the Ancient of Days took his throne. His clothing was white as snow, the hair on his head like pure wool. His throne was flames of fire and wheels of burning fire. A river of fire surged forth, flowing from where he sat. Thousands upon thousands were ministering to him, and myriads upon myriads stood before him. The courts were convened, and the books were open." And then two verses are skipped in our reading, but I'm going to read them now. "I watched then from the first of the arrogant words which the horn spoke, until the beast was slain and its body destroyed and thrown into the burning fire. As for the other beasts, their dominion was taken away, but they were granted a prolongation of life for a time and a season." Now the vision continues, and I'm going to read. "As the visions during the night continued, I saw, coming with the clouds of heaven, one like a Son of Man," one like a true human being, a Son of Man. You see? "When he reached the Ancient of Days and was presented before him, he received dominion, splendor, and kingship. All nations, peoples, and tongues will serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not pass away. His kingship, one that shall not be destroyed." Now do you see why our Lord calls himself the Son of Man? It's intriguing. But for those who want to know who he is and think and pray about it, even while he's alive working among them, you see, you can penetrate this, the Son of Man. So he's alluding to this text of Daniel, but to the meaning, a Son of Man, somebody quintessentially human, you see? And because of that, he receives this dominion. And that's who the Son of Man is. And so, he received dominion, splendor, and kingship. That's the transfiguration. Or that's why this text is used to help us understand the mystery of the transfiguration. Here is a human being who is the very Son, the quintessential man, and he's divine and radiant with light, and receives from the Ancient of Days, his Father, you see, everlasting dominion that shall not pass away, splendor and kingship. All nations, peoples, and tongues will serve him. as Jesus, risen from the dead, on the throne with the Father, radiant with light. And an anticipatory vision of that was accorded to Daniel, and that's what he's talking about. And he's trying to help us grasp someone who is coming. Certainly, the early interpretation is that that is Israel. And it is. But Israel is summed up in Jesus, who is a child of Mary, therefore Jewish, a child of Israel, because Mary sums up Israel, and conceived and virginally and gave birth. So he has a divine origin, even in his human nature. And this is the one, you see, who comes now and receives power, kingdom. That's the transfiguration. His glory is then revealed as well in the psalm. And so the psalm that we have is Psalm 97. And there's selected verses, 1 to 6, omitting 3 and 4, and then 9 at the end. So the text goes this way. Adonai is king. Let the earth rejoice. Let the many islands be glad. Cloud and darkness surround him. Justice and right are the foundation of his throne. Now, who is this? You see? It's the Lord. Fire. Now, these verses are omitted. Fire goes before him, consuming his foes on every side. His lightning illumines the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord. These are part of the psalm. Before the Lord of all the earth, the heavens proclaim his justice. All peoples see his glory. This is describing, among other things, the return of the Lord Christ at the end of the world. Okay? Now again, some lines that are skipped. All who serve idols are put to shame, who glory in worthless things. All gods, whoever they are, bow down before him. Zion hears and is glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments, O God. The daughters of Judah, besides being the women in the other towns around in Judah, and they all rejoice because now this the Lord is king, and he manifests his glory and his majesty. As I say, in the Eastern tradition and in the West, this coming to know the beauty and the majesty and the love. It's impossible not to love Jesus when we come to know his radiant affection for us. And that's what we pray for. That is our own celebration of the Feast of the Transfiguration. That human being there is radiant with divinity, and he smiles at us. He loves us. And while he is radiant in his humanity, he has radiant wounds in his hands, in his feet, and in his side from his passage among us. It cost him to be our Savior. And he is not ashamed of that. You know, he carries those wounds through all eternity. There's a famous story told, to give you an idea anyway. Alexander the Great was a great warrior, and he was in a lot of battles, so he had a lot of scars on his body. And some of his followers would say, wear a cloak in such a way that they hide your scars. He said, no, these are marks of honor. I received them waging war and building a kingdom. Jesus says that in a much more infinitely profound way. These wounds that I bear, as it says there in the book of Revelation, I saw a lamb standing there, still bearing the marks of his slaughter. Jesus still keeps those wounds. They're his glory. Do you see how much I love you? And so, as we celebrate the Transfiguration, We don't evaporate his humanity. He didn't. You know, what happened is that the whole humanity, even after having passed through the cross, the humiliation, the whips, the spears, all that, you see, he is now radiant. And this is the feast of the transfiguration, the metamorphosis, the change of morphe, of shape, appearance, all that sort of thing. And so that's why the psalm, you see, is all about like the mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth, the heavens proclaim his justice, his tzedek. If we look then, even now, see, at the heavens and pray, we will see that justice, that fidelity to his promises. And so that's the psalm and that first reading, which celebrate the glory of the risen Christ. And now we're going to move on.